Welcome to Catalyst at Home. We're so glad you're joining us, wherever you may be joining us from. And Catalyst family, love you, praying for you. I look forward to seeing many of you today at our picnic and school supply drive. I love the fact that we get to connect as a church family and make a difference in our community. Looking forward to that. If you're new to Catalyst, we'd love to connect with you. Love to send you a gift to say thank you for joining us. You can text the word Catalyst to 94,000. We'll follow up with you this week. And church, as always, thank you for worshiping with us. Thank you for staying connected. Thank you for your generosity. We're seeing a difference being made in the lives of individuals. And every week, especially recently, I've been hearing from individuals who are moving into the area, letting us know they've been tuning in. Some of them already getting connected, coming out to our different events. And I want to thank you. Your generosity is enabling us to be able to send this message out, our services out, record these services, and stay connected as a church family. So thank you so much for that. And our vision to love God and love people and to make a difference is moving forward. Speaking of vision, some things that's happening in the life of our church. As you may know, we are in the midst of 21 days of prayer. And I would encourage you, we are entering our second week. We have a 21 days of prayer webpage, which if you're unaware of that, it has resources for you and your relationship and your time with God. It has a prayer guide on there, has recommended books that you can read to kind of further deepen your relationship with God. It has a prayer playlist. Parents even have a prayer guide for children on there. There's even a spot where you can submit prayer requests. I would encourage you to visit if you haven't it. And then also next Saturday, August 29th, we're actually gonna be hosting prayer walks around the DC area. We'll have a prayer walk in Bethesda, Rockville, Silver Spring, Washington, DC, as well as Northern Virginia. And the intent is this, one, to connect as a community, because we believe it's so important in this season for us to stay connected, for us to find ways that we can gather in person in safe ways in order to have that relationship. You know, we're seeing, I saw an article recently that actually calls into the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline and the National Suicide Hotline are going up. And that I believe in this pandemic, we're not only seeing physical health threats, but there's actually threats for our emotional health. We become isolated. So important, church, we remain connected in this season in safe ways. So I would encourage you, I know many of you are coming out today for our picnic and school supply drive, but come out to our prayer walk. It'll be smaller groups, and we get to connect together, pray for each other, and to pray for our communities together. It's gonna be a great, great time next Saturday. Also, I wanna make mention, community groups. Our community groups, our summertime just ended, and we're launching brand new ones in September. September 20th is our launch date. Now, I wanna invite you, if you've been coming to Catalyst for several months, maybe a year, to consider hosting a community group this fall. You can host an in-person group, an online group, a mix of an online with some in-person meetups. But I would encourage you to consider hosting a group, whether it be an online Bible study, it'd be an in-person group that maybe meets and does workouts together, or maybe goes hiking together, or maybe it's a group, again, that maybe you meet online some of the time, you gather in person other times. Maybe it's one that you actually watch and worship together during the Sunday services, have brunch together afterwards. There's lots of different ways to stay connected in this season. I want to invite you, consider hosting a group to allow others to find those relationships, to find that community in this season that we all need spiritually and relationally. If you're interested in hosting a group this fall, you can text the word host to the number below, and would love for you to take part and help others find a community in this season. Well, we're entering part three of our series, Sacred Rhythms. Our first 2 weeks, if you missed, we talked about hearing the voice of God in our life. Last week, we spoke about powerful prayers. And today, we're gonna be hitting the third rhythm we're gonna talk about, which is Sabbath, which is rest. Now, I'm gonna share our primary passage out of Matthew 11, 28 through 30, the Message translation. These are the words of Jesus, paraphrased. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Doesn't that sound good right now? I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. But listen, during this season, I believe especially that we need these unforced rhythms of grace. We need to recover parts of our life. And maybe you feel overwhelmed. Maybe you feel anxious. Maybe you feel stressed. Maybe just you feel tired in this season. Listen, Jesus is inviting us to experience real rest through his unforced rhythms of grace. And that's what this series is about. Today, we're going to dive into one that I believe is critical for us to experience that lightness and that easiness he's referring to. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray that as we open it up, you would speak to us and speak through me. We posture our hearts and our minds to receive from you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 2:2-3 says this: by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so that the seventh day he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day. He made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. We see here that God is modeling Sabbath rest. God, who does not need sleep or slumber, yet models it so that we could see it. Before he commanded it, he modeled it. Come on, that's a good leadership principle. Before you instruct someone to do something, is to model it for them. And God did that for us. I want you to hear the words of Jesus in Mark 2, verse 27. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. See, in that day, many would approach the Sabbath in a religious way, an obligation or a duty. There were rules of do's and don'ts of what to do on the Sabbath, what not to do on the Sabbath. And he was saying, you're getting it twisted. It's not something you do for God. It's something God has already done for you. Something he has done for us, church. I want to help you. You don't have to approach this in some sort of religious way, like, oh, I need to do the Sabbath because if not, God will not be happy with me. No, listen, God loves you. And God gave us the instruction of the Sabbath because he wants more for us. And we even see that the science confirms the value of having a day of rest. And we see culturally, we live in a culture of 24/7. In fact, even the Center for Disease Control in 2016 reported 1/3 of Americans are in need of more rest in their lives. Come on. Recently, there was a study done by Study Finds, and they found that during this pandemic, that actually that number jumped to 2/3, 60%. Almost 2/3, 60% of Americans report lacking rest during this pandemic. It's so critical, church, that we capture this principle. Again, don't feel like it's religious. And maybe some of you, it feels overwhelming because the demands of your work and maybe small children, maybe the things that are going in your life. And don't view this religiously and just take steps towards this. Maybe having a full day of rest in your week seems overwhelming. Maybe you start with a half a day or a quarter day of rest. But I believe if you can begin to implement this rhythm of rest, I believe you'll be able to catch your breath in a greater way. Like that's the title of today's message, is to catch your breath. And we're going to see how the Sabbath God created for us to catch our breath. And listen, I'm sharing this from you as somebody who has been a work in progress. I haven't mastered this. I'm not perfect at this, but I've grown a lot in this area of my life. There were years of my life where I did not properly practice Sabbath. And I justified it by saying, you know what, God, I'm doing work for you. I'm doing things for you, but yet I would not rest for him. Listen, work is holy. We're going to even later this year have a series around faith and work and talk about how work can be redemptive and how we work unto God. And God said, you know, work 6 days of the week. Work for your job, do your housework, work 6 days of the week. But in the same way you work unto God, he wants us to rest because there's benefits for it. Can I tell you, in the years now that I've been practicing Sabbath, it has been transformative for me. And what I hope in this message is to give you some practical handles so you can begin to implement a Sabbath rhythm into your life. And here's the reality. If we neglect this area of rest, there's actually negative consequences to fatigue in our life if we don't get proper rest. I want to share those briefly with you. And here's the first one. Is that the risk of sinful and harmful choices in our life increases. Luke 21:34, Jesus says this: be careful of your hearts, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and the day will close on you suddenly like a trap. Listen, when you're tired, you are more prone to make bad decisions. Come on, somebody. Some of you, late last night when you were tired, you ate an entire tub of ice cream. It's okay. It's under the blood of Jesus. Come on, somebody know. Right? Come on. We often, bad decisions are made when we're tired, right? In fact, there was a study done in 2010. It was the National Academy of Sciences. They were looking at judges. And they actually saw that as the day wore on and judges became more fatigued, their decision-making was impaired. They were less likely to offer parole for similar cases of crimes that were committed, that their decision-making was impaired. Listen, when you become fatigued, you're more likely to give in to temptation. You're more likely to make decisions that will ultimately harm you, harm your calling, harm your relationships, and you're tired. Here's a second consequence. We become less productive. Proverbs 21:5 says this, careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. The Pulse Institute in 2014 actually found that actually fatigue, being tired at work, accounts for $2,000 worth of productivity loss per person per year. That you're actually losing productivity when you are tired. In fact, an interesting, back in the 1700s, France shifted their calendars from a 7-day work calendar to a 10-day work calendar. They really kind of removed kind of this original idea from God of a 7-day week to 10 days. So you worked 9 days, you were off 1 day. Well, what happened was, number one is that suicide rates began to increase, burnout increased, but get this, productivity decreased. More days working, less productivity. Why? Because we need rest. God's 7-day rhythm of 6 days on, 1 day of rest is his plan for our life, and it works. Here's the third consequence, is that our emotions become inconsistent. Job 9:25 says, my days are swifter than a runner. They fly away without a glimpse of joy. Have you ever noticed when you're tired, your emotions can become very rocky? Come on, you can maybe cry, and you're wondering, why am I crying? And it's because you're tired, or you can become a little snappy. Come on, if your spouse gets a little snappy when they're tired, just kind of nudge them softly, maybe a little more. Okay, it's okay. The other day at our house, and our children got up out of bed, and one of our children, I won't mention names, were a little cranky. Their mood was a little bit off. And we noticed bags under their eyes. And we said, did you sleep well last night? And at first they kind of denied it. And then they said, you know, I was up late last night reading books and playing in my bed. I mean, we're like, we can tell. We can tell because you're a little more cranky. Come on. You ever had somebody wake up on the wrong side of the bed? And maybe it can be because of the fatigue, not sleeping well, right? Maybe you've experienced that. I know I have, or maybe you didn't get a good night's sleep. And when we don't have proper rest, can affect our emotions in this life. Exodus 31:17, the Lord says this, that it, referring to the Sabbath, will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, I want you to catch this, he rested and was refreshed. That word refreshed in the Hebrew means to catch your breath, to catch your breath. Listen, when you begin to implement this rhythm, you'll find you'll be catching your breath. The Sabbath was created for you to catch your breath and to be refreshed. I want to give you a simple framework that I believe is going to help you. Again, please don't view this religiously. Like, oh, now this is something I have to do. This is a way to walk out the gift that God has already given us in a day of rest. Here's a simple framework for your Sabbath. It's to rest from work, to revel in God's goodness, and to remember your identity. Here's point number one, is to rest from work. Exodus 20, verse 8. This is the listing of the Ten Commandments. It says this, to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The word Sabbath actually means to cease or to stop work. The original definition, it literally means to stop the work that you're doing. So let me put it this way, that this whole idea of stopping work or resting from work or resisting work, and to give it a practical and give you a framework, whatever you do for work the other 5 days, 6 days of the week, stop that work on that seventh day, to resist that work on the seventh day. And we'll get to that in a moment. A.J. Swoboda, the author of Subversive Sabbath, said this, the Sabbath teaches us that we do not work to please God. Rather, we rest because God is already pleased with the work he has accomplished in us. Let that settle in for a moment. He is already pleased with you. that you have to do nothing for him. When we Sabbath, when we rest, we are reminded there is nothing we have to do for God to be pleased with us. That's good news. That's the power of Sabbath. Our culture tells us that our value is in what we do, but Sabbath reminds us that our value is in who we are in Christ. You know, we have a culture, if we can be honest for a moment, we have a culture that promotes the opposite message of the kingdom of God here, right? There's a popular hashtag, probably you've seen it, maybe you've posted it. Again, no condemnation, but I wanna speak to the contrasting nature of the kingdom of God to the kingdom of this world. There's a popular hashtag called No Days Off. Come on, maybe you've seen it. And I looked on Instagram, there are over 6 million posts, hashtag no days off. Some of them refer to working out, but a lot of them refer to working. In fact, I read one post, the caption was like, you know, it's Sunday and I'm working on setting my goals and measuring my goals so Monday through Saturday, I can crush my goals. Now listen, I understand. Listen, again, work ethic and working hard is godly 6 days of the week. But God's saying, I want you to take this one day. I want you to take this one day. Listen, it is countercultural to Sabbath and to rest. I came across a story of a gentleman named Kamai Shuji. And he was a Japanese business prodigy. This young man entered a brokerage firm at a young age. And the work hours were 8:40 a.m. to 5 p.m. He was the cold call clients to begin to get some leads. He found that he wasn't getting enough leads, so he shifted his work hours, catch this, ended up being from 8:40 to 5 o'clock to then 6:50 a.m. to 10 p.m. He was working 90-hour work weeks, 13 hours a day, 7 days a week. He began to have great success. He began to be idolized, and he began to have articles published about him, and young businessmen and women began to look up to him as the model of success. And then one particular weekend, he was at a sales seminar at a resort. He collapsed and died at the age of 26 years old from myocardial infection. In other words, his heart simply gave out. I want you to catch this. There was a term at that time in Japan called karoshi, and it was common. And what it means is death by overwork. That it was actually common for people to experience this heart condition leading to death because they worked so much. You know, we see not only in this story the danger of overworking, but we see in research the value of rest. National Geographic, along with the National Institute of Aging, published a report that actually found that actually those who keep their Sabbath outlive their counterparts. Again, this was a correlation by up to 10 years. They had lower rates of heart disease and more healthy years of life. I want you to catch this. We are healthier and more productive when we Sabbath, when we rest. Adrian Swoboda said this, that Sabbath cannot save your soul, but it may very well save your life. Develop a plan to resist work. I know it's going to sound odd saying this, but develop a plan so that you don't catch yourself falling into work on your day off. This can look simply for me, I'll turn off my email on my phone. Maybe for you, turning off notifications on your phone. Maybe letting others know, hey, on this day, I'm unavailable. Not taking that phone call from work. Now listen, again, please don't look at this religiously. And listen, and I know some of you are thinking, I have young kids, how am I to Sabbath? Listen, please feed your kids. That's important, okay? So care for your children. And there are things you have to do. Listen, again, not religiously, but it's a mindset. It's a posture towards that day. As best you can, get all of your house chores, you know, buying groceries and cleaning the house and laundry as best you can before your Sabbath. So you can actually have a day where you can rest. So it might mean, again, putting those things on do not disturb. Maybe it's not taking meetings on those days. And here's another challenge I want to give you, is be mindful of triggers that cause you to think about work. Maybe if you read the news a lot for work, and reading the news may cause you to think about work, I want to just challenge you. Maybe not read the news, or at least be limiting how much you read the news on your Sabbath. If social media causes you to think about work, Maybe not scroll social media or limit your time on social media, but have a plan to resist work and even ask a friend, hey, can you keep me accountable if this might be a problem for you in this area? And then rest. Psalm 127:2 says, it's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. God gives rest to his loved ones. John Tyson, the author of Beautiful Resistance, he's a pastor in New York City. He said this, that rest is a movement from fear to trust, from anxiety to peace, from control to surrender. Rest requires intentionality. I'm gonna challenge you to rest. Challenge you to relinquish control, to trust God in this area of your life. And can I just say this? I experienced this, and probably you will too. You will enter your Sabbath, and not all of the work you wanted to get done will be done. I know it's gonna be hard for some of us. It just won't be. But that's the beauty of God's grace and God's rest. We can enter into Sabbath with things left undone, knowing he loves us, he is pleased with us, and we can enter his rest. So on Sabbath, on your Sabbath, I'm gonna challenge you, turn off your email and take a nap. Take a nap. Resist work, rest your mind, body, and soul. Come on, let's take the advice of Winnie the Pooh. Come on, I said Winnie the Pooh, I'm for real. Come on, he says this, don't underestimate the value of doing nothing, of just going alone, listening to all the things you can't hear and not bothering. Listen, don't underestimate the value of rest in your life, of resisting working, having a day of rest, having a day, listen, take your Sabbath at a slower pace than the rest of your week. For me, I mentioned kind of how I turn things off. I turn my email off. I have a do not disturb. And I'll take my Sabbath slower. It's a day of the week that I'm not looking at a schedule. I'm not driven by the clock. I'm not looking to just check a bunch of tasks off my list. I take my day slower. And something real practical, I started taking a nap on a Sabbath. Now, I'll be honest, for years of my life, I thought you don't take naps as an adult. Come on. I was like, listen, no, naps are for children, not adults. But can I tell you, the power of a nap on a Sabbath, I'm telling you, those 60, 90 minutes can be transformative. Rest from work. Here's number two, is revel in God's goodness. Nehemiah 8 is when Nehemiah is giving instruction to the Israelites on the Sabbath. And I want you to catch what he says in verse 10. He says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some of those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I want you to catch this. Nehemiah is like, listen, the day is holy. Go enjoy some good food and good drink. Come on, go have a nice steak. Come on, go have a nice meal. Come on, eat some cake. Come on, enjoy some good drink. Enjoy good company. Why? Because this day is holy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on, to be in line with Winnie the Pooh. Come on, let's just stay in that vein. Look at Tigger. Come on. Tigger is somebody you want to hang out with. Come on, Tigger gets this, right? Come on, he had his own song. Tigger's like, hey, Tigger, do you want to go bike riding? Well, that's what Tiggers do best. Come on, Tigger, do you want to go pick berries? Well, of course, that's what Tiggers do best. Come on, he had this joy. He even had his own song. Come on, the most wonderful thing about Tiggers are wonderful things. Their tops are made out of rubber. Come on, their bottom made out of spring. Bouncy, 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 bounce. Fun, 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 fun. The most wonderful thing about Tiggers is that I'm the only one. Come on. Now you know why I'm not on the worship team. Pray for me. Come on. But have joy. Enjoy the day. Like, enjoy God's creation. It's a holy day. Enjoy it. Ruth Haley Barton, the author of Sacred Rhythm, said this, that we cease our work so that we can rest and delight in God and God's good gifts. You know, John Tyson, in his book, Beautiful Resistance, said he was having a conversation with a Jewish rabbi who was referring to many practices still today in the Jewish faith, but he was referring to even in ancient times, the Sabbath was a time that they would often, family and friends would get together on the table, enjoy good food and drink, laugh and enjoy each other's company, and they would enjoy the day. He even said this for the married folks. He said, if you're married, he said, they actually would call it, you're called to the feast on the gift of sexuality. You just woke up. Come on, welcome. Good morning. He says we need to explore and remind ourselves of the gift of physical pleasure with our spouse. Come on, we're called to feast on beauty and friendship and to enjoy the company of others. I was talking to somebody just the other day about reveling in God's goodness, and he made the comment. He's like, you know, the other day I had a steak, and I just really enjoyed that steak, like genuinely enjoyed it. Come on, just genuinely enjoy. What do you genuinely enjoy in this life? What do you genuinely enjoy doing? What activities bring replenishment to your soul? That you do it, it gives life to you. I'll say, like for me, one of those things is walking outside and walking in kind of nature and seeing those things. It does something for me. Having a long conversation with a friend or with Christina and having some playtime with my kids. What is that? Reading a good book. Maybe for you, it's enjoying dinner with friends, a long dinner with friends. Maybe it's cooking the dinner. Maybe it's a hobby that you pick up and you just enjoy. Find ways to enjoy God's creation on the Sabbath. Lynn Barnett at the University of Illinois, she said that highly playful adults feel the same stresses as anybody else, but they appear to experience and react to them differently, allowing stressors to roll off more easily than those who are less playful. That actually play increases your resilience. So take time to play on the Sabbath. Come on, it might be a foreign concept for some of you, but find something you enjoy and do it. It has no productive value for your life. It's just something you enjoy and have some fun. Do some reflection this week. What are some activities that replenish you, that you enjoy doing? And then celebrate on the Sabbath. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14, Isaiah giving a word of the Lord, it says this, God says, if you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, this is the Message translation. If you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. Doesn't that sound great? Make it a day of celebration. Then you'll enjoy God. John Ortberg, the author of The Life You've Always Wanted, says, when we celebrate, we exercise our ability to see and feel goodness in the simplest gifts of God. I'm going to challenge you on the Sabbath. Take a moment to look over the course of your week and celebrate what God's done. Celebrate how that project went well at work. Celebrate how maybe that work with that client went really well, or celebrate how that meeting was successful, or celebrate you finished that report for school, or celebrate maybe you had a good week with the kids and you saw some progress maybe in some areas of your children, or maybe celebrate maybe just a good conversation you had with a friend. But take time to celebrate. I would encourage you, come on, eat some cake. Come on, if you just need that liberty, eat some, have fun, celebrate, enjoy life on the Sabbath. Revel in God's goodness, which brings us to our last point, which is to remember your identity. In Exodus 29 through 10, it says this, that 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day, the Lord says, is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do any work. He says, the Sabbath is a day to the Lord your God. It's something we set apart. And listen, in the midst of resting, in the midst of resisting work, in the midst of reveling in God's goodness, let's not lose fact that first and foremost, this is a day unto God. It is not simply a day off. Oh, a Sabbath is far more than that. It's far more restorative. It's far more refreshing than a day off. Part of it is a day unto God. See, when we see even in the Old Testament, Sabbath, components of the Sabbath often included praise and worship, which we do on Catalyst at Home. Come on. We do when we're in person as well. We start with praise and worship. And then it would include the public reading of the word of God. In fact, Nehemiah 8, before they enjoyed choice food and wine and drink, and they actually had a public reading of the word of God, just as we're doing right now. And they would give teaching and application. That's why if you can, I would encourage you, make Sundays your Sabbath. Now, some of you, I know you cannot because of work and other things. Then find another day. It doesn't have to be a certain day. It can be whatever day works for you. But I think Sunday's a great day because you can start your day. Come on, maybe sleep in if you can. If you have kids, prayer the night before that they sleep in a little more. Come on, parents. And then get up and join us at Catalyst at Home with worship and then the word. And kind of have that center of your day. Always include worship in God's word. Marva Dawn, the author of Keeping the Sabbath Holy, says on the Sabbath day, we deliberately remember that we have ceased trying to be God and instead put our lives back into his control. Today, we remind ourselves that he is God and we are not. Today, will we relinquish control. Today, will we surrender over to him and we stop so we can worship. See, the practice of the Sabbath is an act of trusting in God. And can I tell you this? When you begin to implement this and resting on the seventh day, it'll take pressure off the other 6 days. I found this to be true in my own life. When I didn't rest appropriately, it felt like it was just never ending. Every day was work. When you have that rhythm, there's something beautiful about it. I look forward to my Sabbath during the week leading up. And then when I come out of the Sabbath, when I Sabbath well, I look forward to those 6 days of work. And I believe you will as well. Pete Scazzaro, the author of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, said Sabbath provides for us an additional rhythm for an entire reorientation of our life around the living God. Sabbath reorients our life around God. Charles Duhigg in the book Power of a Habit, he had this phrase called a keystone habit. And a keystone habit was a habit, if you put it into practice, had a domino effect and led to more healthy habits. For example, if you floss your teeth, that's actually correlated with healthier habits, such as working out and eating a healthier diet. It's a healthier lifestyle. I truly believe, and I've heard it referred to, that Sabbath is a keystone habit. That when you begin to give God a day of the week, you give that day of rest unto God, you're gonna find it easier to put God first in other areas. You're gonna find it easier to give him, have that daily meeting with God, whether in the morning or afternoon or evening. You're gonna find it begin to putting God first in your finances, bringing the tithe. You're gonna find it first, putting him first in your relationships, putting him first in every area of your life. Why? Because you're giving him the Sabbath, the day of your life. Listen, we worship God. Again, it's not out of a place of obligation. It's not out of a place of we have to. Worship reminds us who we are and whose we are. It reminds us of our value in God. But I want you to catch this. Sabbath is ultimately a gift for us from God. As Mark 2:27, Jesus said it was made for us. We weren't made for the Sabbath. It was made as a gift for us. And the practice of the Sabbath is both healing and restorative. Dr. Jerry Lee, the School of Public Health of Loma Linda University in 2014 found that actually practicing the Sabbath in his research was associated with better mental health and well-being and improved physical health. It's actually better for you when you practice the Sabbath. A.J. Swoboda says this, that Sabbath is a scheduled weekly reminder that we are not what we do. Rather, we are who we are loved by. Can I tell you, I believe the most transformative aspect of the Sabbath is that when we practice it, we're reminded that what we do throughout the week does not define us. We're reminded that we're defined and we're valued as a child of God and our identity in Christ. It has nothing to do with what we've done and everything to do with what God's done. Can I tell you? As you begin to implement this practice, you will experience the power, the transformative power of practicing the Sabbath. You will find this catch, you will catch your breath. You will find this rejuvenation. You will find this refreshment. You will find this restoration happening to your soul, happening to your body, happening to your spirit. You're gonna find yourself going into the start of your week with more energy and more focus. You're gonna find yourself through the week looking forward to your Sabbath. You're gonna find yourself coming out of your Sabbath refreshed and energized. I'm telling you, if you begin to put this into place, you will experience the power of the Sabbath. It is a restorative practice that reminds us that we are loved by God and that there is a better way to live. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, as someone who didn't practice Sabbath for years, as someone who has been implementing this now in my life, it is a transformative practice. I want to invite you to do it for your own life. So here's a simple framework. First is rest from work. Put up some boundaries. Resist work in your life. Put on some, maybe do not disturb on your phone. Don't take calls that day. Don't look into things that might trigger work in your life. Protect the Sabbath. And then rest. Approach the day from a slower pace. Take some naps. Have a long walk. Eat your food slowly. Enjoy the day. And then revel in God's goodness. What do you enjoy? What gives you life? Do those things. Read a good book. Play a game with family or friends. Enjoy a long dinner. Do those things that you enjoy. And then celebrate. Celebrate what God has done in your life and what he's doing in your life. And then lastly, remember your identity. Remember who you are. You are a child of the Most High God. And when you begin to set aside time in your Sabbath, you make worship in God's word primary in your Sabbath, you'll be reminded of who you are and whose you are. You'll be reminded of how much you are loved, and it has nothing to do with what you've done and everything to do with your identity in Christ. Church, let's pray. Father, I pray right now, God, for every person, God, hearing this, God, you're stirring us, God, to experience your rest. God, as your word says that we, Lord, you gave us this gift of the Sabbath, of rest, this restorative practice, God, to remind ourselves that we're loved by you, to bring rejuvenation, replenishment, so we can catch our breath. I pray you would help all of us, no matter where we are on this spectrum of Sabbath, God, to help us be able to implement a rhythm of rest in our life, so we can experience all that you have for us, so we can experience the full life that you promised through your son, Jesus. Father, give us wisdom this week to take the practical steps to experience the rest that you have for us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. I wanna pray with one more group. If you're here tuning in and you've never come into a relationship with Jesus, maybe you once did, but you need to recommit your life to him. Listen, if you're feeling stirred right now, I wanna encourage you today, make this decision. You will not regret it. It will be the best decision you'll ever make. You can begin to experience this rejuvenation. Before you begin to practice Sabbath, surrender. That's really the heart of Sabbath, is surrender. It begins with an initial surrender to Christ, saying, God, I want to follow you. I'm going to experience the best that you have for me. If that's you, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for going to the cross, giving your life for me. I believe you rose again. I confess you're Lord of my life. Repent of my sin, and I ask that you lead me and you guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. We're so excited for you. If you made that decision, you can text the word faith to 94,000. You'll see below. We'll have to send you a resource this week to simply help you grow in your faith, give you some next steps. The Catalyst family, show them some love in the chat as you always do. We're so excited for this decision that you made today.